Is anyone else just constantly worrying? I feel like it can't just be me, but I feel like worry should be my middle name. But I have recently discovered Cover My Bubble. Cover My Bubble are a family insurance company who started their business in memory of their daughter. When Lilybeth passed away, they didn't have any insurance and lost Emma's income into the family, which was very difficult. They are here to help families with affordable insurances such as life, critical illness, income protection, children's cover and bump cover. Yep, children can be covered too. Now Emma loves a question, so why not reach out to her at Cover My Bubble and let her help you. Hello and welcome back to my podcast, Tits, Tums and All Things Mum. I am your host, Lottie, and I am here to normalise normal parenthood and to show everyone that really, we're all just winging it. Join me and my amazing guests to make sense of the chaos and work through motherhood together. Hello and welcome back to Tits, Tums and All Things Mum. I am here with a returning guest who's been highly requested by you guys, the lovely Shannon from Home with Shan. How are you?
Hi, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thank you so much for coming back on. Loads of people have requested you to come back on, so they'll be very pleased that you're here. I know, aren't they lovely?
Oh, I'm a bit surprised because I was just saying to you before we started recording that actually feels like such a lifetime ago that we recorded that first episode. I came out, it must have been at least 2 or 3 years ago now. That's crazy. Much has changed for both of us.
We've both had second babies since then. So we're both totally different people. Could you start by telling us a little bit about yourself? Because you're probably completely different to the person back then.
Yeah, definitely. Hi, I'm Shan. I am a mum of two now. I've got a 3-year-old boy called George and a 6-month-old, turning 7-month-old actually by the time this comes out, girl called Hallie. George is a bit of a whirlwind of a toddler. He's a typical toddler boy. I never really bought into the whole gender roles stuff, but wow, the stereotypes are real in my case anyway. And then Hallie, who was born in July 23, but it's just been a bit wild going from one to two, their personalities are already completely different, and it's just navigating all of that. But I'm ridiculously happy but ridiculously tired at the same time.
I fully get it. I think when you have your first child, you think that that's going to be the hardest because you've gone from having no children to a child and you don't know what you're doing and you've got to learn and all of that. But no one tells you how hard it is going from one to two.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you, it hit me like a ton of bricks. It was it was really, really hard. And look, I knew it was going to be hard because I knew my son, who was already quite difficult by himself. And, adding an extra tiny little human on top of that was always going to be hard. But going from zero to one was nowhere near as hard as one to two. I know that everyone's experience is obviously different. And I would hate to scare people if they're thinking about going from sort of one to two, because it's obviously brilliant and magical. And if you want to have, siblings and, I would never want to put anyone off of that, but wow, prepare yourselves. Yeah.
It's crazy, isn't it? Because I think nobody talks about the transition from one to two and how difficult it is. I am getting to the stage now where it's much, much easier now that Bailey's three and they have a relationship and they cuddle on the sofa and it's so cute. And, they're little besties most of the time when they're not beating the shit out of each other. It's in those early days when you've got another child that needs your attention and you're having to deal with the newborn stage and you can't just sit and binge Netflix while you're, breastfeeding or feeding. You have another child that's demanding your attention. So it's really, really difficult.
Yeah, I echo all of that. That's basically my experience for the last 6 months.
Yeah, and you obviously had the wild one first, whereas my wild one was second. And
yeah, so that's the stereotype, isn't it? That you always see you've got the first angel baby. And then although saying that, George, my first, was a really easy baby, I'd say all the way up to like the age of one, and then a flip switched, like tantrums came in and he was just like in everything. And you know, like he was that kid that always just had like a black eye or like a big golf ball on his head because he would just like fall off. We've been into AME like so much with that child, like, it's mad. He's just like non-stop. And actually, weirdly, Hallie already is the complete opposite in terms of, so her like hitting her milestones and things, she's not quite where you would expect as like the standard range of like you roll at like 4 to 6 months and then you sit at like X, you know. She's not really there yet, and it's because she's got hypermobile joints apparently. Which means, you know, and I was actually put it on my stories yesterday, and I was speaking to lots of people who have had similar experiences with their little ones, and they were saying, you know, it's absolutely fine in the future, but it basically means that she might not walk until 18 months, 22 months. Like, it could be a lot. So I was like, oh my gosh, my like toddler experience is going to be so different to like what it was with George. Cause I was like running after him, making sure that he would like run into a pond or something. Whereas, it's going to be a little bit different, I think. So one, you know, always learning. We always have to like come across new challenges, don't we? So it's not as simple as you have one or you've done it before, do it again. It's like everything is completely different. So it's like great.
Because I think like no two children are the same, so you'll learn how to deal with your first child and then you'll get another one and you're like, oh my god, why is this child like not adhering to the things that I've learned before, and like why does this child not sleep when I do that because it worked for my first child? And you're like having to learn all over again. But yeah, I don't conform to the gender stereotypes either. And I've treated both my children the same. I've brought them both up the same, like with dolls and cars for both of them. But I have a very, very girly girl who likes Barbies and dressing up and all of that stuff. And I have a boy that likes cars and things like that. And I'm like, but how, when I've given you both things, like how has this happened? I know. And my boy Bailey, he's like George as well. He's just wild. He's a runner. He's a climber. He will just climb to the top of something and throw himself off just to see what will happen. And I'm like, can you not do that? Because you're giving me a heart attack. Luckily, he has very much chilled out in the last, I'm going to touch wood here. In the last 6 months or so, maybe. He's wanting to actually sit and play with toys and cars. And I laughed the other day because he brought his first painting home from nursery that he's ever done. And it was literally a piece of paper with a single piece of tissue paper stuck to it. And I was like, well, it's something. He's actually sat and done a picture, because
it's the attention span. Like, no, I don't hope. Like, like George is exactly the same. But some of the things I get back from nursery, like a solitary line drawn on it. I'm like, okay, I'll take it.
It's something. Whereas I've got literally like bags and bags and bags of stuff from Bella, where she's like literally sitting and doing crafting for hours on end. So yeah, it's not as simple as like using the rule book that you had from baby number one for baby number two, because they are wildly different.
Gosh, it's crazy.
Yeah. But how has life with two been treating you otherwise? How have you been finding it?
So I would say, if I'm totally honest, the first 3 months were absolute hell, like pure hell. I loved my kids, but I hated my days. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was so... You know, I loved having a newborn, and I loved, you know, the fact that I had two kids. I loved my toddler. He was so sweet, but oh my gosh, it was so hard. Mm. I was attempting to breastfeed as well. And I say attempting because it was failing miserably. Oh. Like, it was just, some days would go really great and I'd feel like on top of the world. And then other days, it would just literally hurt. And like, everyone was screaming. And like, because I was spending so much time trying to master that. Hallie was screaming because she wasn't getting anything. Hallie, my at the time newborn. George was screaming because I wasn't paying any attention to him, because I was trying to do that, which was like a full-time job essentially. And I was screaming because it was just hell. Like, it was just, you know, it was really hard and I really struggled. But then basically around the time that I decided to start weaning off of breastfeeding, going more onto bottles, whether that was expressed milk or formula, I just started to feel a little, it was just a bit more manageable. And like I really tried, I felt so much guilt for coming off it, which is so crazy because I didn't even breastfeed George. Like I never even attempted to. He was bottle fed from the get go. But those hormones, I kid you not, are wild. Like the things they do to you. Like when I stopped breastfeeding, my husband was like, "Why? Like, why is it such a big deal?" He literally didn't understand it because he couldn't feel what I was feeling. Like it was this big. It's just crazy even talking about it because I'm like, I don't think I was in a sane mind.
Mums out there will fully get it if they've been through the same, because I went through exactly the same with Bailey. Like, because I breastfed Bella up to 6 months, I felt like I had to do the same for Bailey.
I had 6 months in my head. I was like, 6 months, I'll get to that and then I'll have done it and like I'll feel like I've achieved that, or like,
but why?
But don't get me wrong, it's a massive achievement. It obviously is. If you are able to breastfeed for however long you want to, like, that's amazing. But if it's not working for you, wow, cut yourself some slack, because it's not worth your sanity or your family's sanity. Like I was probably very difficult to live with at that point, I'm not gonna lie to you. So like,
but it's crazy that we put easier on ourselves, so much pressure on ourselves, isn't it? Like, I did a little rant on my stories the other day about guilt and how it's crazy that we feel guilt for things that aren't actually us doing something wrong. Like, you rob a bank, okay, feel guilty about that, you've done something wrong. You purposefully hurt someone, feel guilty about that, you've done something wrong. But stopping breastfeeding for your sanity and for the happiness
of your babies, child as well, like, I'm not being funny, most people end up not breastfeeding because it's not going particularly well. And therefore your baby's not full up and content and happy. They'd be much happier, like, you know, being full up, like fed. That's, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Fed babies are, you know, what's the phrase? Fed is best. Like, that's like, it really is.
I kind of subscribe to the, like, informed is best. And that's like, if you know, like, how to do all of the things, like, and you've tried the things and it's not working for you, and if you are informed about breastfeeding, but you actually decide that's not for me, then that's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
But for me, I was informed. I knew all the things. I was doing all the things, but something in me, I had a switch in me that would not let me stop. And I really feel like there's a lot of pressure from society, from generations before us, from social media, to do what people think is best. And I'm in these Facebook groups, right?
Oh God, here we go.
I think people should get out of them if they're struggling with breastfeeding and are thinking of stopping, because I remember posting in a group about struggling with breastfeeding and just feeling really low. I'd been diagnosed with postnatal depression, and I posted, like, I think it's coming to an end for me. I'm really struggling. I'm not happy. My baby is not happy because he's uncomfortable. He's sucking air in all the time. He's getting colicky from all the air because he can't latch. I think I'm going to stop, but I feel really sad about it. Any tips? And I thought I was going to be flooded with loads of, like, oh, support. Don't worry, mama, you've got this. Like, it's okay to stop. But actually people messaged me saying, like, you've not tried hard enough. Try harder. Have you tried this? Have you tried that? And I was like, what the hell? Like,
and I'm not being funny, when you're in that state, like, when you're in that, and when I say state, as in you're in a vulnerable position, when you are a postpartum mum, with, especially with two kids, like, you know, you're in a really vulnerable state, and things that people might say to you, like, someone say something to me today, I might not take it that deeply. I might not take offense to it. I might not internalize it. Back then, you say it, you look at me, I am feeling like dirt on someone's shoe, like, because you're in that vulnerable place for that, like, and especially you've put that out there expecting, you know, like, that support back, and to not get that's just rubbish.
So I guess for anyone out there who's going through the same, like, if you're not happy, if your baby's not happy, if you're struggling, like, I would rather be happy and have my family be happy than put all of that pressure on myself for the sake of breast milk. And if you can express and give breast milk in a bottle, then the baby and you feel better because they're still receiving the breast milk, then do that if that works for you. But if you're not too fussed and you're happy to go to formula, then do that, because we need a happy mum. We need a happy baby. Like,
we really need happy mums. I think first and foremost, you really, really need a happy, stable mum to then be able to, you know, provide for her kid like properly. I was running on fumes for a lot of that, and I feel the word guilty, but I do feel guilty a little bit for how I maybe dealt with certain situations, potentially with George, my 3-year-old. He was like two turning three at that time, and I was snippy, and I was, you know, I wasn't as patient as I normally am, and, you know, I think I'm gonna forgive myself for that, like, frankly, but you know, if I had potentially whatever, like, put, you know, things in place, maybe gone to, like you say, expressing milk and giving a bottle, and then that taking sort of 15, 20 minutes rather than like an hour of pure agony, like, you know, trying to breastfeed. You know, we might have had some easier days, like, you know, but hindsight's a beautiful thing, right? That's why we're here, and we can hopefully...
We can talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. And if anyone's listening and is going through that, then, you know, don't feel guilty. Just don't. It's so not worth it. I'm literally... That was like 3 months ago for me. It feels like a different world because of how... how much my life has shifted since then. Like, obviously it wasn't just the breastfeeding, like, there were loads of, you know, contributing factors to that. You said about postnatal depression. I was never diagnosed with that, however, I definitely had some sort of like baby blues, or I was very down, but you know, I'm very much a, you know, stiff upper lip, crack on and go, to my detriment, like, massively. But I did reach out, and I spoke to health visitor and the GP, and, you know, some were more helpful than others, it's fair to say, but you know, when I actually did just have, like, I think it was like a text conversation with one of the health visitors they have, like, in my area, I don't know if that's the same everywhere, they have, like, different options. You can obviously go in and talk to someone, but sometimes that's really, really stressful and, like, counterproductive. I literally had a text conversation, like, a really in-depth one, and it was just someone else on the other side who was obviously trained in sort of this area. And they just gave me some really practical advice that just really helped me feel seen, and, like, just that I'm not rubbish. I'm just, it's a really difficult situation. And, you know, and it was just someone that I didn't know, I didn't have to look at. Didn't feel like they were judging me in any way whatsoever. And honestly, after like two or three of those, like, conversations, I felt really, like, my mental, like, state was, like, completely shifted from an incredibly negative one to a much more positive. Like, it was still the same situation, but my mindset was just slightly different, which had a huge impact. So,
yeah,
I'd highly recommend that if anyone ever goes through something like that.
Yeah, I think always reaching out is so important, like, whether that is to your health visitor or a GP or friends and family and things like that, just get the support. But I think you can look back now and look at that person back then and be like, wow, like, she put way too much pressure on herself. And it's easy to look back and say, oh my god, I should have taken the pressure off a little bit, I should have done this, I should have done that. But actually, when you're in that moment and you're in that kind of period of motherhood, you feel like there's no end to it, and you feel like there's no light at the end of the tunnel, and this is just you now. So I think the biggest thing to say to people is that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and you might not be able to see it right now, but it is coming, and you just need to kind of get over this hurdle before you get to the next bit, and you will kind of feel like you again, because I think you just lose yourself massively, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. And if I'm totally honest, if someone had said that, and which people did, if someone had said, you know, there's light at the tunnel, you just have to get through this stage.
Yeah.
To me then, I would have been like, oh, just fuck off. Like, I'm sorry. Like,
fuck off. It's like when people say sleep when the baby sleeps. I'm like, well, you just fuck off.
Yeah. It's just, it's so easy to say that, like you say, with hindsight. And like I say, that was 3 months ago for me. That's not even, listen, I'm not talking about years ago. I'm talking about literally weeks ago. The difference, it's just insane. So you're right, there is obviously like the end of the tunnel, and that is the message to get across, but it's when you're in it, that's probably the worst thing to hear. But I know, but it's so true, like when you're in the depths of the newborn and the toddler, and especially like for me, that was my experience, you know, it was really, really hard. And then actually some of the things that did help me, and I follow, I think you've had her, I know you've had her on the podcast, Sophie Taylor.
Lovely.
So she has Casper and she has Indy, and Casper and George are very similar in age. I think there's 6 weeks between them. And then Indy's obviously, you know, turned one now, and obviously I could sort of see the little how her family is like grown and stuff, and I know that she found it, you know, really hard when she was first born. And then we were talking a little bit and she said about, well, just like it, that it genuinely does get easier, even though her two are like wild and crazy. You know, I see like their little family growing, and it, even looking at like families like that on social media, can be a dark place, can be a really, really positive place. And looking at, you know, Sophie's family and how that has gone from the depths of newborn stage to where it is now, it just gave me so much hope. Like, it genuinely did, even when I was in those trenches. Yeah. I was like, oh, no, this isn't forever. It's not. It feels like it, but it's not.
Yeah, it does feel like it. And I think that's the thing, when people share on social media the realities of like the early days or just the challenges of motherhood, is that you can see yourself in those places, those difficult stages. But then when you see those people then come out of it, you're like, okay, that can be me too. Because I remember a time when she was where I am now and she's out of it. So I'm just going to wait and like be patient, and I'm going to be out of it, which is why people like you, people like Sophie, sharing the realities is a really, really good thing on social media.
Yeah, to be honest, that's exactly why, that's why I share what I share, like whether that's on my vlogs on YouTube or over on Instagram on stories and stuff like that. I think I never want to come across like ridiculously negative, because, you know, I love my life. My life is great. Like but it doesn't take away from the fact that it's bloody hard a lot of the time. I love my kids and I love my life, and that should just be a given. Like, I don't even have to say that. Do you know what I mean? But I also want to show that when you're like, you know, if I didn't share on YouTube and I didn't share on Instagram, I'd feel so lonely in how I felt so often. And don't get me wrong, I still do. But the fact that I'm able to share it and then I connect with women, mostly women, like 98% of my, you know, audience are women, like mums and stuff that are either, you know, they don't have to be in exactly my position, but we can relate on a deep level about our situations, whatever they might be, working mums, solo mums, single mums, women like have partners that work nights, or, you know, like literally, if you'll go back to work, if you don't go back to work, if you stay at home, if you're on maternity leave, whatever it is, like whatever your situation, we can all relate on a deep level, because you know, we all get it. We all have highs, we all have lows, and I don't want to be someone that just shares just the highs, and I don't want to be someone that just says just the lows. Like, I want to just show a bit of everything, really, and you know,
share life.
Yeah, like it's just it's never one or the other, and just because you have a good day, don't be fooled.
I know.
Everything is a phase. That's like my favorite phrase. It's so incredibly true. Like, you go through great, I'm in a really good phase with the kids at the moment. I am under no illusions that something will happen. Someone's going to go through a developmental leap or whatever, and it's going to come crashing down for a few weeks, and that's fine, because it will go back up at some point.
Like, exactly.
All in all, if I look back on, you know, their childhood, they look back on their childhood and they go, I had a good childhood, that's it, I've done my job, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the thing, is that motherhood is a roller coaster, but you know that if you're at the bottom and you're having like a really shit time, you know that it's got to come back up at some point. Like, it can't stay down forever. So just hang in there, because there's always a phase, isn't there? Like, newborns are really difficult, and then you'll get out of the newborn stage, but then they'll start teething or they'll have developmental leaps or whatever, and then you'll get out of that, and then they'll start walking, and then you'll get out of that, then there's like toddler tantrums, and it's like, okay, but when does this end? Like, when is it just plain
when they move out?
But even then, there's
probably just as much of a nightmare to my parents now.
Yeah, exactly. And then they have kids, and then you've got their kids to look after, and it's just like, it's never gonna end, is it? This is my life now. Like,
no,
the roller coaster.
I love that as well. Like, I actually see it as, like, don't get me wrong, there's the mundane days and like, the constant treadmill of like, I'm just staring at a load of non-sterilized, non-washed baby bottles, stuff from breakfast. Like, this is the nice background. Like, that is just wild at the moment. Don't get me wrong, that stuff I'm not like a massive fan of, but the whole idea of like, you know, bringing up your kids and your family, and then you're going to be together through thick and thin, like forever, like you say, like forever, it's never gonna end, like you're stuck with us. so yeah, like that sort of thing, you know, basically like me and my mum have like the best relationship that we've ever had now, because you know, she's just great with the kids. She's so supportive. And like, although we've never been the best at like talking about, you know, emotions and stuff like that, her like love language, as it were, like how she shows that she cares about someone is through acts of service. And oh my God, I'm so grateful for that. Wow. Because it's all great getting given gifts or like whatever, words of affirmation, whatever all the other ones are, but the acts of service in the depths of like being a mum of two is very, very, like it's very helpful.
I feel like all mums need someone whose love language is acts of service 100%. In their life.
I'm grateful my husband's is as well, actually.
Oh, I wish my husband's was.
Ash would never, ever, like, come up to me and say, love you. Like, he would. I don't think in the last 8 years he's never initiated on I love you. Like, he's such not a talker. He's a man of few words, but he makes a good brew. Like, he makes a good cup of tea. He does the washing up. He cooks. Yeah. And, you know. Mate, I'm very, very grateful for that.
My love language is definitely acts of service, and I like all of my friends are acts of service friends as well. So I love that about them. But my husband is not. My husband is the like very, what's the one like touchy feely one? Like,
oh,
the one that does like, say I love you.
Physical touch.
Yeah, that's him. So obviously, when you're touched out, you're overstimulated, and then your husband gets home and he's like, I love you, wants to give you a proper kiss, like smacking your bum. And I'm like, get the fuck away from me.
I've literally had little hands Hoover. On me all day. Can you just, go and sort the dishes, for God's sake.
I'm like, can you just be an acts of service person for like 2 minutes, please, and stop touching me? But love him. I love him. But he's not an acts of service man. So I've had to adapt and just accept his physical touch ways and accept the lack of acts of service ways. It's we all need acts of service people in our lives as mums, 100%. I think.
Definitely. Yeah.
And my mother-in-law, she's that person as well.
Great.
So grateful for that. But I wanted to ask you what your kind of top tips would be for someone going from one to two. As you said, we don't want to scare people into not having a second child, but there must be some top tips out there for kind of getting through that and making it a little bit easier on yourself.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously I'm absolutely no expert, and I absolutely muddled my way through that whole transition.
Aren't we all?
But I would definitely say, like, with hindsight, and obviously we were only like 6-7 months in, like, you know, that this is still the transition period as far as I'm concerned. And it's actually really interesting because I'm thinking about doing a YouTube video, like, of like top 10 things that I did that worked, and then maybe chucking in some things that maybe just weren't great or I regret doing or whatever. But on that list, I was sort of starting to pull that together, and I definitely think the biggest thing that like helped my toddler, and it mainly is about the toddler's emotions, right? If you've got a toddler, like I know that everyone's age gap is going to be very different. Ours is 2 years and 10 months, so almost 3 years. Either side of that by 6 months or so, I think still, you know, these would still apply. I definitely think one-on-one time with each kid is really, really important. But when the baby's napping and the toddler's at home, I know that it's really easy to say, just forget the washing, just forget this. I know it piles up and stuff, but even just like 15 minutes of like one-on-one time, fully dedicated, no TV, no screens, no phones, like just sitting and playing or talking or reading a book or something like that, dedicated completely, will mean the world to your, like, well, either of them, but your toddler, like your firstborn. For me, that was a really, really important thing. And I would say with George, his behaviour has been up and down, but his behaviour after that dedicated time with me just like flipped. He was just like an angel, because he obviously felt seen and heard and needed and wanted. And like, I just every time I did that, I was like, that was the best thing I've done today. Like, I'm so glad I did that. And it's really easy to not do it because you're rushed, you're stressed, you're worried about when the baby's gonna wake up and like all of that kind of stuff. But that was probably, those were my favorite moments throughout those first 3 months, was those alone times with George. So definitely that one, like carving out even like I say 15 minutes or half an hour of alone time one-on-one, I think is really important. One thing I also have done, and I do it like all the time, is basically just tell George how much Hallie loves him. Like, I'm always like, oh, look, Hallie's looking, like, even if she's just like a potato looking up, like, you know, oh, look, Hallie loves you. She's looking at you. She loves her big brother. Like, you're so special to her. You're, you know, really making him feel important and that she loves him, in the hope yeah. that it you know, goes both ways one day. And it 100% has. I know yeah. that's not necessarily the case for all, you know, all relationship, all siblings. Like, at the beginning, I feel like I've seen a lot of, I worried that George might be, you know, really jealous, and we had those moments, we definitely did.
Yeah.
But at worst, he's neutral. At best, he's like all over her, like smothering her with love. So, you know, always saying that Hallie really loves him, and oh, look, you've made Hallie smile, she thinks you're so funny, like, you're so great, and like really bringing him up, but yeah. but kind of giving the praise from Hallie. And I feel like it, that way it kind of built that bond a little bit.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, the standard things, getting them involved in, like, the, if you're changing a nappy, oh, can you get me the wipes, or can you pass me a muslin? And he always wanted to help, even though he, you know, wasn't really helping. It was like more like giving me a dirty baby bottle or something, and I'm like,
yeah,
right, yeah, cheers. But like, getting him involved in things, and basically just yeah. not pushing him out. And yeah. then I think the last thing, the biggest thing, again, I would say, is not blaming the baby, or like focusing on what they can't do. Like, get rid of that. Like, not, don't say, I mean, it's really hard not to when you've got a toddler that's like massive in comparison to this like tiny baby, and you're like, no. If you say that all the time, they're just gonna get pissed off with you. Like, you know, it's not hard to piss off a toddler at the best of times. So like, for me, it was very much, okay, let's not sit on Hallie's face. Let's lay next to Hallie, and you can hold her hand, or you can put your head next to her head. Should I take a picture of you both? Would you like to see the picture? Or let's take another one and maybe sit next to her and look how long you are and how little she is. And like, really kind of, I guess, like, diverting the attention away from the, no, don't do that. Don't squish her face off, yeah. like, or whatever. And saying what you can do instead, or you can maybe bring her a muslin, or you can help with her toys, or just focusing on the positive thing, yeah. if there isn't. Obviously, yeah. if something's like incredibly dangerous, then you kind of just have to grab them and say no, like, what are you doing? Yeah. But anytime I overreacted, it ended in tears for everyone yeah. involved. Yeah. So it was just like, I soon learned to kind of switch that a little bit, as hard as it is to have the patience, yeah. especially in those situations.
Yeah.
So I kind of think if you have that patience, it works for you in the longer term, I think.
Yeah.
I hope, anyway.
I love that. Those are great tips. I remember using similar things with my two. I remember I was breastfeeding Bailey so much because he really struggled. It was literally like 24 hours a day. And I remember being sat breastfeeding him, and Bella got so pissed off and so jealous that she literally pulled his head off my boob.
Yeah.
And I got cross. I was like, you can't do that. And then the next time she did that, I was like, oh, hold on a second. Why don't you go and get one of your babies, and you can feed your baby too? And perfect. She sat next to me breastfeeding her baby.
Oh, I love that. You know what? George did that with his teddy. He like lifted his shirt up and was like this. And I'm just like, I love this so much.
But then you end up creating these incredibly caring and compassionate toddlers. Because it was so funny, the other day I was loading the dishwasher, and I'd asked Bella to get her clothes off, ready to get in the bath. And she's independent, she can take her clothes off, but Bailey's not there yet. Anyway, I turned round and she was taking Bailey's clothes off for him as well. And she was like, come on. She'd got the little nappy mat, changing mat out, and she was like, come on, lay down. And she took his nappy off. Thank God there was no poo in there.
Yeah,
no. That would have been messy. But she took his nappy off. She wrapped it up. She was like, come on, let's go get ready for the bath. And I was like, oh, you're so cute.
It's imitating you. Like, if you're,
yeah.
you know, like I say, it's so much easier said than done sometimes. Yeah. But if you're calm, cool, collected, and like you say, caring and compassionate, then that's what they're going to see. And that's what they're going to, they're not, you know, they're just learning behaviors. And if you're if you do shout at them loads, like what are you gonna expect the back? Like, trust me, I've been there. I shout more often than I want to, but I shout. I'm not a saint. And then George shouts back, and then the next day he, you know, if I've like shouted at the dog, poor dog, bless her, gets the brunt of it sometimes. If she's like barking, if say Callie's asleep, she's asleep right now upstairs, Yeah. Say the postman came to the door and Molly started barking, my dog, yeah. I'd be like, oh my God, no, Molly, like, because, like, she has, like, it's so harsh, but,
yeah,
you know, if I say that to her, next time it happens, George does it to her, and I'm like, oh God, no, because, like, I don't want him to learn that, or see that, or, like, you know, imitate that, so I'm a lot, you know, that was probably a few months ago when I was in a bit...
Yeah,
a bit of a fragile state, now I try at least to be a lot more considerate and aware. I think of how I'm portraying myself in the house, so that they don't necessarily copy me at my worst.
Yeah, but we aren't perfect though, and I think, I don't know about you, but I think you probably are. I call myself a scrunchy mum, which is the...
I don't know what it means.
So it's like it's a mum who like practices things like gentle parenting, or, you know, giving them freshly cooked meals and stuff like that. And is like very keen on like the emotional side of stuff and things like that. Maybe does some stuff that's like a little bit helpful for the environment, like maybe cloth nappies and things like that, but also shouts sometimes and gives them McDonald's sometimes, and you know, uses disposable wipes. So it's like a kind of bit of both worlds,
mixture.
If that makes sense. Like a
I love
mixture
that
of the two.
Because that is me. So, like that is 100%. I try and do all the good stuff, and then I'm also human. Like, do you know what I mean? That's where I am with it. I feel I think personally, I'm basically the mum, like the Gen Z version of my mum. Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm slightly more conscious about things just because I'm aware of more things, because I see it on the internet and I can read more and you have access to information more. But generally, I'm just doing what my mum did, and I love my mum, so hopefully my kids will love me, and they'll be nice people. As long as they're nice people, that's it. That's my job. So I always have that in mind. Oh, I try and always have that in mind. Like I say, no one's perfect.
Exactly. I almost feel a little bit sorry for my mum that she didn't have the access to the information that we have these days about, you know, emotions and about regulating your emotions as a mum, but also helping your children to regulate their emotions.
Well, those two things go hand in hand, don't they? Like, regulating your own emotions in turn could actually help your kids regulate theirs.
Yeah, because my mum, bless her, she couldn't regulate her emotions, and I've told her I think she has ADHD as well, but obviously there wasn't the
recognition. It's hereditary. Did you know that?
The help. Yeah. So that's why I think Bella's got it as well.
Yeah. Well, George, I mean, again, he's not been diagnosed. He's only three. So, but. Yeah. I don't think I've actually ever spoken about it because you never know what comments you're going to get back. But I'm pretty sure that George has got ADHD. My husband's got ADD. So, like the non-hyperactive version of ADHD. So George is definitely hyperactive, and he definitely has, you know, he's also a toddler, and, you know, he could grow out of it and all that. And they don't diagnose until 6 or 7 in my area. So, but it's on sort of the radar, and we talk to a nursery and stuff like that. And since I've sort of looked into it a little bit more, I definitely feel like my patience has got a lot better with him. Because I think, you know, like I just need to support him in any way that I can to regulate his emotions as best as he can, give him the space when he needs it and that kind of stuff. Yeah. And rather than just the instant thought is to go, well, they're just, you know, they're just a little shit or like whatever. Don't worry, I think that sometimes. I think he's a little bit spoiled, but I think having a sibling is maybe knocked him down a peg or two it's hard, like, but those kind of things I would never even, I don't know anything about that. No one in my side of the family, as far as I'm aware, like, has any sort of neurodivergence or anything like that. And I actually listened to your podcast. I can't remember the guest that you had on, but
I've had quite a few talking about
ADHD, really? Okay, well, I need to go back in the back catalogue then, because I'd be really interested to listen to a little bit more. I was actually trying to find some sort of UK-based pages, because I know there's a lot more, you know, there's a lot more people in America. So there's a lot of pages on there, and I just quite like that. I really love relating to like UK-based people, because I just feel like you just, you know, you get the references, you just, as an hour, just I'm quite, yeah.
You have not a very different sense of humour as Brits.
Yeah, like, I love people that are blunt and to the point, swear a little bit. And like, although I try not to swear too much on my channels, but I don't really know why. That was just like a, yeah, I know. I don't know why that kind of, I think I know my granddad watches my YouTube videos, so I'm like,
yeah,
I can't, oh, you know, I can't there swear, are certain things. Swear.
Yeah, I'm always, my grandma has Instagram, so I'm always very cautious of like what I'm putting on my stories, because I'm like, oh, my grandma's watching.
Just hide it from her, hide it from her.
I know, yeah. But I like the fact that she can see it. But also, I had a vibrator brand approach me for a collaboration. I couldn't do it. I was like, I can't.
Oh no, you should do it.
I know. I bet she had a load of vibrators in her day, or probably still does now. So like,
it's just so funny because I'm so like, I'm very much myself. Like,
yeah.
Like more so than I am with some of my family members. Do you know what I mean? Like online, like I feel such a connection to the people that follow me, because again, like I say, we have this fundamental thing in common.
Yeah.
I would like to think you wouldn't follow someone unless you like, you know, liked what they're about.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not always the case, obviously. But I don't know. I just feel like a massive connection. So I am just completely honest. Like, my inner thoughts just come out. Like I don't really filter that.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're in real life with some other people, you know, especially if they're close to you and you've grown up around them and stuff, there are just certain things I wouldn't necessarily say or bring up, or topics I wouldn't discuss.
Yeah.
Or especially about how I'm feeling or like difficulties and stuff. It's I don't know. Maybe that's a problem.
I'm exactly the same. But, I don't talk about the challenges and stuff so much with like my family. I probably would with like my best friends and stuff, but like I remember talking about when my vagina got stitched up wrong after having Bailey on my stories, and then I was like, oh my god, like my grandma follows me. I would never sit at my grandma's house and be like, so grandma, my vagina's been stitched up wrong.
But I guess that's the thing about Instagram and YouTube, it's your little corner of the internet, no one has to watch it. Whereas if you're in a conversation with someone and you actively go, hi, my vagina, like that's a bit
like,
different,
because
you're shoving it in someone's face. Someone has to come and find you, and if they don't like it, don't click on it.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what you'd like to think people would do, not necessarily always the case, but
exactly. But yeah, talking about those things, like the amount of messages I got after that story that was like, oh my god, I'm going through the same, but I've never had anything done about it. Like, what did you do? Like, so many people were suffering in silence and not knowing if it was normal or not. And I prompted so many people to then go to the doctors and get it all sorted out, which they might not have done if I didn't talk about it online.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Exactly. I've had so much help from so many people.
Yeah.
Like you said, because I think at the end of the day, when you put something out there and then people follow you and they've had similar experience because they're in a very similar situation to you. Like, for example, Hallie had a tongue tie. I knew exactly the best tongue tie specialist in my area because people messaged me and told me.
Yeah.
And then I did my own research, obviously, but I wouldn't have even, I didn't know anything about tongue ties. I didn't know what was going on. Like, the fact
both
that people,
of mine had tongue ties, so that's like, why I couldn't breastfeed.
Yeah, well, same with me second time around. So,
yeah,
like, I didn't know anything really about that, and I wouldn't have known anything or where to even start. If I'd have just gone to the health visitor, like, you know, like, people say that that's the stages you should do, which I did do. They just told me everything was fine, you know, and it wasn't, and then I went to a specialist and it got sorted there and then on the day, and that was because of people that messaged me through Instagram and gave me advice. And obviously you've got to be careful with that. You can't take everything for gospel, and you have to, you know, take everything with a pinch of salt. But when like 300 people message you and say, this is maybe could look into it potentially or whatever, I don't think anyone was doing it like unsolicited advice. It was very much a coming out of a good place.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful because it massively helped. So
like I say,
Instagram, it is a good place. For me, it's a really positive place. I know that's not always the case for everyone.
Yeah.
And, you know, there have been some incidences that maybe not so much, but overall, like it's my community. That's my village. Like this village that no one actually has.
Where is the village?
For me, it's Instagram and YouTube and the community that we've built over there.
Yeah,
like people like you, people like Sophie, you know, Yeah. You know the people. Like, yeah. I feel like we should all meet up and just like go for a coffee. Oh, no, fuck that. Go for a wine or something.
Yeah, for a wine. Because that'd be amazing if we could literally get everyone together for like
so
a big,
good. We're all just in party. Such different corners of the country, and like obviously we'll have kids, and like you know, we'll be like, barely like meet up with our best mates, let alone
2026.
Yeah,
yeah. But yeah, Instagram is an amazing place as a parent, because you do feel less alone. But I think also on the other side of that, sometimes it can make it really difficult to parent the way that you want to, because you do end up comparing yourself and your parenting to other people. And you also do get met with so much judgment. Like, yeah. I feel like mums as a general community can be quite judgy.
We're Karens, yeah, and we can't help Karens. It. I know, it's awful. Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's a shame, isn't it? Because, like I was just saying, obviously we're so supportive and you know, I really genuinely think I am a non-judgmental, like, do you, whatever works for you kind of person. I wasn't always that way. Before having kids, I was a judgy person, like, and I didn't think I was then, but wow, I was, because I was like, oh, I'll never do that, you know, that whole thing. And you know, that's just, look back on that person, go, you don't know anything, mate. You don't know anything until you're in it, and you can never understand what someone else's situation is. Like I said with like my first and my second, everything I did with my first, he was just like this angel baby, slept through the night at 6 weeks, and then didn't literally never woke up unless he had a cold, which was like barely ever, because he was born during COVID and never left the house. Had naps every single day, like in the cot in a blackout room. Oh. Like, perfect. Like, just always had like really long naps and slept like an angel. I would go onto YouTube and say, this is what I do and this is why he sleeps.
Yeah.
I'm so embarrassed because that's just so not the case. I was just lucky. I was lucky first time around. My circumstances were so that I didn't have to leave the house. He could nap in a blackout room, and you know, he's my first child, didn't have like school runs and nursery runs errands to run. Like, whereas second time round, I've got a different baby, different personality, different needs, different like health issues or whatever. Obviously has to be pulled pillar to post because I'm running around doing other things.
Yeah,
it's a completely different scenario. So like me then telling myself now like what you should do or whatever, like you never know someone's situation, you never know their back story and all of that kind of stuff. So for anyone to judge, even if you think you know them, whether that's because you're on Instagram or you know Facebook groups or because you watch them on YouTube, you really don't. Like, as much as you feel connected to them because, you know, you feel like you generally would like that person, you don't know them in real life. Like, you don't know half of it, trust me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's easy to judge. And then in turn, as someone that puts themselves out there, it's very easy to internalise the judgment and internalise maybe what people might think or what you should I say that, because it's what I think and what I will do, but I'm not going to say it because like what if I try to not be like that, but there are obviously certain things that, you know, I just can't be bothered with. I'm not out here to be controversial. I'm not out here to fuel some argument in my comments, as much as that would be great for me in terms of engagement. I don't want to do it because I'm not I'm looking after myself a little bit in that sense. Does that make sense?
I
know that there are people out there that say things just to be like controversial and then just do it because that's how they think, and fuck it, who cares? Like, I can say what I want, of course you can, but I just want to protect myself a little bit, because if I did that all the time, I would get sucked into to the judgment. I just know I would, and I just try to protect myself because I can't be bothered with it. I've got too much stress already.
Yeah, I definitely went through a phase of protecting myself after I stopped breastfeeding Bailey as well, because I posted a post saying I'm done with breastfeeding and like why, because of my mental health, because of Bailey's happiness. And the amount of abuse and judgment I got on that post was ridiculous, simply for me stopping breastfeeding. And I think that's what makes it difficult sometimes to parent the way you want to parent, because you will be in receipt of that judgment sometimes just for doing you and doing parenting the way you want to do it.
But that's really interesting.
No one will ever know.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting because actually when I stopped breastfeeding Hallie, I really consciously didn't do a post. I didn't make a big, I mentioned it in a YouTube video, like just really nonchalantly, like only, say like on my YouTube video, I got like 10,000 views each video, like not as much as you would get on like a reel or something, like not as many eyes. You have to really watch a video all the way through to even have caught it. Yeah. So I didn't want to not talk about it because it was important to the people, again, that are like following my journey and relate to me. And I don't want to fake that I'm still doing something that I'm not, like, I would never want to do that. But I really purposely didn't because I was scared of that, like 100%. Yeah. I was scared of, like, I think maybe even probably carried on for a couple of more weeks because of that. Yeah. Like, because I was worried about, oh, yeah, but this person on Instagram would say this. And or, like, not massively, like I knew what my decision was, but equally it did cross my mind. Like it crossed my mind. Yeah. And again, like you say, doing a post or a reel, or like, which is weird, isn't it? Because like, especially in our, like what we do, what we share, we're very open, we're very honest, but we're still people that want to protect ourselves a little bit because
I know.
Like,
I know. I think I definitely carried on much longer than I should have done. Out of the fear of judgment, not I wasn't thinking that, but I think somewhere in my subconscious I just carried on like knowing that I would get this judgment if I did stop.
And isn't it weird, like when I was when I knew that I had, like, I wanted to stop and that was the route that we were going to take, all I could see on Instagram was like, oh, we got 1 year of breastfeeding journey. Like, I could just see loads of that. I'm like, how does Meta know the inside of my brain that that's what I'm thinking about? It's just like, you know, when you are either trying to conceive or whatever it might be, and all you see is pregnancy announcements. Yeah. How the hell does that happen? Like, what's going on?
It's called something. It's called... it called, there's a name for it in your brain. It's like,
when is it like when you're trying to buy a car and then you like, oh, I'm gonna buy a Nissan Qashqai, and then all you see on the road is a Nissan Qashqai because you notice it more.
I think it's called your reticular activating system, and
there you go,
you start to see more of that thing
because you're constantly thinking about it.
Yeah, so it's not actually Meta being like in our brain, it's our brain, like,
you never know,
kind of making you notice these things more. Like, they're always there, you notice them more because that's what you're thinking about.
Yeah, no, that does make sense. Yeah.
But yeah, it's weird, isn't it? And like, I had exactly the same situation, but just about the like people judging that, like, don't have kids or don't know your situation. I remember someone in my life calling Bella spoiled when she was really young because she used to have a lot of tantrums when she was like two, you know, your typical having a tantrum because you've got a pink cup, not a purple cup. Yeah, and someone who didn't have children called her spoiled, and then she went on to have a girl who is an only child, and we went to a birthday party of hers the other day and we did pass the parcel, and every single time someone opened the parcel that wasn't her, she threw herself on the floor. And I just thought, that's so funny because you used to call Bella spoil.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm just like, if you don't have kids,
you can't.
You never know.
But I also think if you, like, even if you have kids, you also never know someone else's position because everyone's kids are different. Everyone, the age is different. The temperaments are different. Yeah. The household's different, your situation, whether you're a working mum, stay-at-home mum, everything in between.
Yeah.
No one's situation is exactly the same. No. So you really can't. Yeah. Like, my sister-in-law, for example, has a little boy who is so different to George. And so the way that she handles situations is completely different to the way that I would, but it's just as valid. And it's just as, like, it's... I don't understand. I never really get it. And I don't know whether it's because it plays on people's emotions. Like, I don't know. Maybe it plays on people's emotions that they're either, it plays on things that, maybe because they're doing something that's different to me, I'm not good enough, or I did this and it worked, so they're not good enough. Like, I don't know what that is, but I don't think that comes from a healthy place. I really don't.
I know. And I wish everyone would just subscribe to, like, you do you in everything in life, not just parenthood, but just life. You do you, and that's that. Like,
and if you want my advice or whatever, then come and find it, but don't just offer it up, like, no, unnecessarily, exactly. Like, unless, you know, like, my best friend has a very different life to me, and she's like, so she's a single mum, and she's like on the dating scene, and so her situation is so different to me, and she's asking me advice about dating, and I'm like, I've been with my husband for 8 years and I don't know, because we met at work. And it was a one-night stand, to be honest.
So, I love that.
So, like, I don't know how to date. Don't ask my advice. She's like, yeah, but you're just, like, sorted. And, like, you've got a husband and like, a house and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, but it was such an accident. Like, I didn't do it on purpose. Like, you know, you can't just look at someone and think, oh, they've got the answers and whatever. Like, everyone's situation and everyone's, you know, everything's just so different.
Yeah, it definitely is. Amazing. Well, on that note, could you tell everyone where we can find you online?
Yeah, of course. So I am on Instagram and YouTube as Home with Shan. And I post sort of vlogs and sometimes budgeting videos and sometimes sort of sit down videos, like sort of tips, but also not in the normal sense of like, oh, here's tips, this is what's going to work. It's more, this is just what's worked for me, but it really might not work for you. So that's on YouTube, and then on Instagram I'm over there posting vlogs and just general daily life and really normal, not like ridiculously unattainable stuff, just like just me, and just come and say hi if you want to. But yeah, that's me pretty much.
And we never got to get onto like any of the budgeting stuff despite us saying that we would, so we might have to have you back on for a third time to talk about budgeting and finances.
Yeah, no, that would be great. I'd love that. I've actually got a budgeting video coming out really soon, so if anyone wants to hit me up over on YouTube, then that's where I'll be.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on, and I shall speak to you soon.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. As always, could you please subscribe, download, and leave a review? And I would absolutely love it if you could share my podcast with your friends. I'll see you for the next episode.